Strawberry teas, that's a new one on me in church, but I just think, thank you, Gwen and Gerald, for sharing that. That has made my morning. I love things like that. I love the way that God moves in ways that we have no idea. I bet when you woke up this morning, that morning, I remember Tuesday, I tell you what, there was a lot of prayers going in on Tuesday, not just about your strawberry tea, but I had a very important visitor, business visitor, coming and meeting me on the Wednesday into this area. And I was just like, come on, Lord, you've got to do something about the weather, because there's nothing better than showing one of my guests around with work to this beautiful and amazing scenery. It speaks volumes on a beautiful day. On a rainy day, it doesn't look so good. But isn't that amazing? The prayers of us, the saints, battling through the heavenlies to see lives transformed in the most mysterious and wonderful ways through a strawberry tea. If I'd not been working so hard that day, and I was, then I'd have joined it. But isn't that amazing? 50 people entering into this building just because it was raining outside. Fabulous. 70. 50 had not. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? 70 people. Gosh, your scones must be something to be. Anyway, probably good that I probably didn't join them, because I'm trying to keep trim at the moment. Anyway, enough of that. Isn't that great? I just got a real sense this morning that, you know, even when we think that God isn't moving, God is absolutely moving, whether it's in the healing of necks and backs, strawberry teas because it's raining, or those 20 young people, or 20 or so young people in Minidon hearing the word of God in a relevant, real and different way that is going to lay foundations and sow seeds into their lives, so that it's going to just flourish and hold them in good stead over the coming years in their lives. In fact, I just want to pray for those at this moment in time. And Krona, would you pray for those children who were there experiencing that at this moment?
Father, thank you for every single one of those kids that are at Minidon this weekend, Father. What an amazing opportunity, an amazing location, Father, filled with your blessings, so that that place can bless other children and sow into young lives, Father God, young lives that will grow up and stand on your word, Father God, and be lights in their communities.
Amen.
And in all the areas of other people's lives that they touch, Father God, to see your glory shine through, Father God, to see others come to know you, Father God. So bless them, Father God. I pray those hearts will be fertile soil, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right, okay. Sorry about that. I'm getting all that energy and that excitement out of me this morning, because it's just really a great blessing to be part of something that's on the move. And we've just got to keep remembering. And thank you, Myra, for just drawing that out of how God is moving in our lives and in the work that this church is doing in this community. So we're continuing a series of parables. For those who don't know me, like Myra says, we've got no first-time visitors. We've got repeat guests here today, which is fabulous. I'm James, and I'm one of the elders of the church. And it's a real privilege for me to be able to continue the series that we're running at the moment about the parables. And it's been a great series so far. We've heard some really amazing stuff. Parables produced and presented in different ways, which is great, because I don't know about you, but sometimes you hear parables. And in my childhood, I remember hearing the parables as a young kid in children's church, and you grow up with them, and they become quite established in your lives. But to hear them presented in a different way just recently has been great, because it's bringing them alive again. And that's what I believe very much about the parable approach. Why did Jesus use parables? He used them because he wanted to bring situations alive to people. He wanted to paint a picture, just as we see on the wall here, pictures of the seasons. Jesus used his words and situations to create a picture for people so that they could really connect with him. Jesus used a parable to build a bridge so that he could form relationship with people. So today we're going to be exploring the parable of the Good Samaritan, and Krona's going to read the scripture from Luke 10, verses 25 to 37, and we're going to be reading from the New Living Translation.
One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this, and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side of the road and passed by him. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now you go and do the same.
Thank you. Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for your word, that it is a two-edged sword. It cuts through, it will cut in half our preconceived ideas, our thoughts. It will open up new ways of thinking and new ways of doing and putting into action your word today. And I pray that we have listening ears, receptive hearts, and open eyes and willing hands in Jesus' name. Amen. So, folks, I have to say, I'm going to start the morning off with a confession. Are you okay with that? I've got some stern-looking faces here. I'm opening myself up, thank you. You know, I can always look at Jill and she'll give me a smile. It's okay, it's going to be okay, James, it's going to be okay. I must say, when Pete sent this, I'm confessing to a fellow elder here, to Pete. Pete, are you ready for this? Okay. When Pete sent out the email with the list of parables on it, I looked through the list and I thought, Good Samaritan, yeah. It's in the top three parables. How can I go wrong? Okay, you know, I've heard this for many and many years. I know this inside out. No problem. So I was a little bit cheeky, got in there very quickly with my response. Normally I don't want to respond to Pete very quickly, but I thought I've got to get in there quickly with this. Well, you know, Pete, you'll know next time. There you are, a real confession. So I have to say, I was a little bit cheeky when I chose this one. And like I say, because I know it so well, and we all know it so well. You know, top three parables, a number of commentators who I've read through were saying, yeah, can't go wrong with a sermon on the Good Samaritan. No pressure, yeah. And we know it so well. Because it paints, that Jesus uses it to paint a real clear picture of how we can approach situations. But it's also Jesus presenting a real picture of humanity as well in action. Now, listen, I don't mean to be flippant, but actually for me, this parable and choosing this parable is a massive reminder, a real reminder of how one can become complacent and get set in our ways with our relationship with God. So, moving on from that, as I got more into my preparation, I listened to when I'm driving the car, because I spend time in my car, I tend to listen to other sermons from other churches which I've either been to or people have said, oh, signposted me to. And there's a church a church in Maidstone. I was born in Maidstone, and I've got some family still over down in the southeast. And it was a church that we went to occasionally when I would visit my grandparents. And it's a church called St. Luke's. And one of the recent sermons there was a gentleman sharing about parables, and which is amazing. And he said three things. A parable will present something shocking, and we see in this story a number of shocking things, whether it's actually the brutality of the moment that man gets beaten up, or the fact that people walk by, or is it the fact that the Samaritan himself, is that the shocking bit, that the Samaritan stops and does all this stuff for a stranger? They speak about the kingdom of God. And just recently, you know, one of the things that was amazing that Chloe revealed was this kingdom living that is presented through a parable. How we can be kingdom livers in our lives. And actually, it doesn't really take that much to be living as the kingdom of God. I also reflected upon that, is that very connects an awful lot to the series that we delivered earlier in this year about the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus sharing his views on how we can establish the kingdom of God in our lives and live that through the way that we live. And finally, this speaker at the church in Maidstone talked about our relationship with God. And that really struck a chord with me. Already I've shared how one can become quite flippant and complacent when you read parables that have been established in our lives. And we set ourselves on that mindset of, oh yes, we approach it in the same way. So for me, it's very much this week has been about what is my relationship with God through this parable. So as I said, I've read this parable and heard it many times, many times. It paints an amazing picture, doesn't it? Jesus uses it to paint an amazing picture of how we should respond to the needs of our neighbours, strangers, people that we encounter. It paints a picture of actually those moments when we've not done it right. You know, we've been the person who's walked the other side of the road or missed that opportunity to just say something, be there, be part of it. So today, folks, I'm not actually going to explore that, because I think we all know in our own minds that when we've done something that we could have done differently. And you certainly don't need me, and I certainly don't need myself reminding me of those moments when I've got it wrong. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit gently prods and nurtures us through those moments, so that when we encounter those moments next time, maybe we'll be a bit bolder, maybe we'll be a bit more confident, maybe our eyes will just be opened. And that compassion that Jesus talks about, and I love the word compassion in the Bible when Jesus, because compassion with Jesus is like, I heard it mentioned by a commentator, a real groaning in his stomach, like this movement that, you know, it's like, oh, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. And it's been, we're not going to be exploring it in that way. But when I picked up my Bible this week and started to plan my talk, I really felt the Holy Spirit saying, don't miss the reason why this parable was taught. Don't miss the reason why this parable was taught. Why was Jesus sharing this amazing picture of the Good Samaritan? So with this in mind, I want us to start right at the beginning. What created this response, this parable, this picture to be shared? And if we go into verses 25 to 29, it starts with a conversation with a lawyer. A question from a lawyer. Now, I don't know whether you guys have ever encountered lawyers. I have from time to time. I've had former bosses who were lawyers. And they never give you a response. I always get a feeling that a lawyer is trying to be a little bit smart and catch you out. You know, you feel a little bit like, yes, Your Honour, it was me, I done it. But actually, what they do is they ask questions. And this whole parable starts with very much a question being asked in verses 25 to 29. So before I go on, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Now, these are questions that you don't have to shout out and answer. These are questions for you to just reflect upon. The questions are, is Jesus the Son of God? Question number two, is Jesus holy? And three, does Jesus have the same attributes as God? Everywhere, omnipresent, omnipotent. So back to the text. The lawyer asked Jesus a question. Now, I think that the lawyer was trying to be a little bit smart, a little bit like, you know, I'm just going to try and catch this carpenter's son who's making a big noise in the area, doing some miracles, changing people's lives. I want to catch him out, because the lawyer is coming from a law perspective. He knew the law, religious law, inside out. And some might say, well, he's a bit of a pain, a bit of a smart aleck. But we have to thank Mr. Lawyer for asking that question, because without him, we might never have got this parable presented in this way. Now, Jesus, in his humanity, in his love, in his godliness, in his holiness, doesn't respond back with a smart answer, if you notice. Jesus isn't fazed by this question, He responds confidently and compassionately with his response. Jesus saw this as an opportunity to build a bridge between him and the lawyer that was dividing them. Building a bridge over something, a question, an attitude that divided them. In some ways, as I was reading this and reflecting upon this week, I really felt that Jesus, in his actions of responding in the way that he did to the Good Samaritan, to the lawyer, he acted in some ways as a Good Samaritan. He acted with this stranger by giving him something, giving him his time, giving him a response, bringing him a response that he needed. So like I say, this talk isn't about exploring the parable. In fact, I really believe, even just when I hear about strawberry teas going on, about the way we reach out to our community. I don't, 20 kids at Mini Don this morning. The fact that we have a food bank, CAP, we do tots and toddlers. We do lots of great things here to administer help to strangers. I'm not here to talk about the parable from that position. But I think what we want to, for me today, is exploring the need for us as individuals and as a corporate body and as a church nationally. And I say that quite grandly, but yeah, because I know that we minister out. People take away what's going on here back into their home churches. The question I think that this parable throws up to me is, who are our neighbours? Who are our neighbours? Are they the people next door? Or are they actually the stranger like the Samaritan encountered? I think that as we explore this, and recognize that Jesus' response was through a parable, that we too will start to feel more equipped to build bridges through different methods, build relationship with our neighbors once we know who they are, so that we can cross that divide and bring compassion and hope. Parables in the Bible is just one method that Jesus uses to build a metaphorical bridge to form relationships. The parable of the Good Samaritan is a picture that paints a very clear picture of someone taking a step, a bold move, and producing and giving of themselves to a stranger. But that's not just the only picture or example. And so part of this is about, okay, if being a good Samaritan means this in that story, how else can I apply being a good Samaritan? Well, it might be asking someone for a cup of water. You know, Jesus created an absolute transformation in a city because he sat at the side of a well and asked a woman who was an outcast, who'd got a life full of disappointment, upset, and who was low. He asked her for a cup of water. An example of being a good Samaritan. Jesus used a storm on a lake with his disciples battling, working hard to stay safe. Jesus used a storm on the lake, and his contact and his connection and the peace that he brought as he revealed himself to being God, acting as a good Samaritan. There's many situations, I think, that we can bring peace into stormy waters through the right words, a smile, a gentle nudge. And one of the words that, and another example is a breakfast on a beach to build a bridge with someone Jesus loved. You know, Peter at that moment must have felt, I can't even probably describe it because I've never been so disconnected from God. But Jesus, poor old Peter at that point, after denying Jesus, must have felt alone. And therefore, wasn't that an amazing act of simplicity, but connecting with Peter in his environment as Jesus cooked him breakfast on a beach? Just simple acts that maybe we can do as we look out for our neighbours. As believers of Jesus Christ, believing that he is Lord, the Son of God, holy, he has the same attributes as God. Folks, we need to believe, just like the Samaritan, we are equipped for dealing with those strangers and our neighbours that we encounter. I've given just three examples there. We've already, even this week, we've seen examples of it. Asking someone for a cup of water, bringing a spoken word into a stormy situation, having breakfast with someone who needs to know that they're not alone. This question of who is my neighbour keeps spinning around in my head all week. Who is my neighbour? Who is my neighbour? As I'm driving through the countryside, or as I'm on the phone to people, who is my neighbour? Is this person that I'm speaking to on the phone my neighbour in this situation? Well, actually, if I believe that I am bringing the kingdom of God into situations, then yes, I am the Good Samaritan to this conversation. I'm bringing peace, I'm bringing hope, I'm bringing support. Just as the lawyer asked, who is my neighbour, we need to continue to ask that ourselves. Folks, here in Tawin, I am so blessed to be living here. It's fabulous. But they're outside, past the 40-mile-an-hour speed of Wales, and we see it on the news, and we see the situations that people are facing. There's a lot going on. I travel with work, and I'm down in London quite often, and other cities. And I was in King's Cross about a month ago, actually, probably 3 weeks ago. And I walked out of King's Cross station. I'm going to my hotel. And it was a hot, hot day. It was about 5:30 in the evening. I was coming home from a meeting. Now, this is London, folks, our capital city, a very wealthy, wealthy part of the world. And I was amazed by the people I saw who needed help. We are not disconnected from them, because actually we've got lots of things we could be doing to support. The social fallout from situations like the Grenfell fire, a government in meltdown, terrorist attacks in our country, and a real sense of discontent in our country. Our neighbours, when we're asking that question, do not need to be that person physically next door. I think we need to be ready to respond to situations. I don't know how, I don't know, you know, but God will give us those skills. A cup of water, bringing peace through a word, a breakfast on the beach. Whereas I was wrestling with this word, this question, who are my neighbours? The people of Grenfell Tower are my neighbours in some strange way. They need Holy Spirit-filled believers of Jesus to answer questions and people to be skilled bridge builders of relationship, just like Jesus. When we encounter neighbours and situations like Grenfell, and I'm using that because it's relevant, and maybe it's something that's really sort of struck me in a very, very strange way. Not because, maybe, yeah, because I go to London a lot. People like that who have been battered, robbed, left without hope, both physically, emotionally and spiritually, we can be just like the Good Samaritan. We can put oil to soothe wounds, wine to disinfect, and finance to support their recovery. And we can do that, even though they're hundreds of miles away. We can do this through our prayers. We can do that through the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues over situations, having words of knowledge. And we can use our finances to bring practical and immediate response to situations. Now, I know that situations like we're encountering in our country at this moment in time will produce questions from people locally, from people that we encounter, especially if we're living out that kingdom of God in our lives. Because people, just like that lawyer, will be smart and legalistic and come up with fancy questions. But I urge you and encourage you, folks, the Spirit-filled believers of Jesus, we don't need to avoid responding to difficult questions. We can be confident, like Jesus, and use our answers and our response as an additional way to build a bridge with those people. So in conclusion, the parable of the Good Samaritan, written all those years ago, spoken out by Jesus to create a picture, of how kingdom living should go on, to someone who was being a little bit smart and possibly a little bit arrogant, hoping to catch the Messiah out. That's that parable, which we've heard many, many years, is as socially relevant today as it was back then. Its focus is to challenge how we respond to situations and how we should not avoid them. But it's more than that. To be a good Samaritan, it requires us to ask the question the lawyer asked. Who is my neighbour? Who is my neighbour going to be today? Is a question that I would encourage you to ask daily, hour by hour. Because God will reveal, Jesus will reveal who your neighbour is going to be. Who is that stranger that just needs a cup of water, a peaceful word, breakfast on the beach? By being good Samaritans, by being able to respond to questions, we too will bring recovery to that situation. Build a bridge by using our resources of prayer, like I say, our gifts of the gifts of the Spirit, our physical skills and our finance, and that we will then allow Jesus, the Son of God, our Saviour, the transformer of lives, to enter and change the situation. Amen. Now, a few months ago, folks, I'd like to put this into action just I think we've got time. I'm looking at the clock. Yeah, I think we've got time. If you're with me on this, we've got an opportunity to start this process of being a bit, knowing who our strangers are. I've given a couple of examples of strangers. Neighbours. Grenfell Tower victims. The terrorist attacks going on in London. Brexit. And a lack of majority in our government. I'm not here to politicise, I'm not political. But these are real situations that in Tawin we can feel a little bit disconnected from. But worth through something that we have going on here, folks, that needs our support, our first aid coming in. Okay? And I see this as an opportunity to do something that we were encouraged by one of our elder statesmen of the church earlier on this year, which is to pray. Pray as a corporate body. Are you with me? Okay. So we're going to have a bit of a prayer time. And we're going to speak out some powerful words here. Okay. And I'm going to just really believe that we've got this opportunity. This is a good environment to pray in. We, through our words, can create change. We can bring peace. We can administer first aid. And we can seek, through the Holy Spirit prompting us, how we can put some practical action into what we're praying about. So I did have a PowerPoint slide for this, but I've forgotten it. I'm sorry about that. But I'm sure you can all picture from what's happened in the news, those visuals. Like Jesus used. He used pictures, didn't he? You know? I'm going to paint a picture here, folks. One of my clients, I go down to London to see them. They are in Borough Market. Borough Market is a thriving, bustling market. It's got fish stalls. It's got cheese stalls. It's got exotic fruit stalls. It's full of exotic people. You cross a bridge, London Bridge, to get into the Borough Market area. I'm walking through. It's a sunny day. I'm going to see my client. I always nip through Borough Market because I love the hustle and bustle of it, the pictures, the smells. It's an amazing cheese stall. It's got the richest smells of cheese that you will just... You feel like I go into this office and I feel like I'm stinking of cheese. It's that smelly. It's an amazing place full of people going on about their business. 10 days... After that first visit, I went back and saw them. Borough Market was sealed off. Armed police. A bed of flowers that covered the pavement, meters deep. And this real scent, sunny day, a real sense of disbelief that what had gone on in that place. Borough Market was where the most recent terrorist attack happened. Now, I think we have to speak this out, folks, because it was shocking to me that I was encountered by this realism of what's going on in life. There was no hustle and bustle. There was no smell of cheeses. There was no fish stall. There were just people who were walking around in disbelief. And I had to skirt around. I had to go a massive journey round. Encountered a vicar who was there. There was people on the street counselling, sharing, talking. Now, that needs prayer. So, Josh, if you could just give us a bit of background music, just to over... And I would just really encourage folks. I'm going to start us off. And let's just hear some voices. And listen, I know. Hey, listen. I've been in church for a long time. And I've crashed the vocals with many a person. And it doesn't matter. I know it's a little bit like, oops. I've prayed over someone else. It doesn't matter. We've got to get through that because prayer is important. God is omnipotent. He can hear my prayers while someone else is praying. That's the beauty of God. Yeah? So it doesn't matter. If someone starts and you're praying, just go for it. Just keep pressing on. Okay? And if you've got a scripture, a word to shout out, just speak it out. But God wants to bring, to encourage us to rise us up and pray into these situations. So I'm going to start. Father God, I thank you that you are the overcomer. You know that our prayers will bring change into these situations that we are seeing on the TV and that are happening into this world. And I pray, just as you brought stillness and peace into that storm on that lake, where people were frightened that they were going to perish and die, that you brought peace through one word. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, the name of Jesus over Borough Market today, Lord. All those stallholders, all those people visiting that place will find peace as we speak out the name of Jesus. Amen.